Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder, when we get to heaven, will God allow somebody to quarter off a section and call it a sanctuary eternal state? No, my friend, not very likely. But then, when we live in California, such questions are certainly understandable. So, California is now officially a sanctuary state. Popular idea for Democrat politicians in Sacramento who are catering to a voting bloc. Not so popular with many everyday California residents, including many Californian legal, I say legal, Hispanic immigrants who wonder why those who did not come over by honoring the very laws of the country they wish to be a part of are being rewarded, especially since they got in line like everybody else. But hey, times are changing, like they said back in the 60s and saying the times are changing. Now, I'm just thinking out loud here. Track with me for a moment. Since we're on a roll, since Pandora's box has now been opened, will any California cities declare sanctuary from California the state? Relax, I'm not really advocating such a thing, but truth be told, when the rule of law is abolished or ignored, others do get emboldened. And what goes around comes around. I would even say the chickens could come home to roost, but I don't want to sound like Reverend Wright. What I do advocate is a ballot measure and vote of no confidence for anyone in Sacramento who put their narcissistic careers ahead of the public. I'm not saying this will work. I'm saying we need to try it. Perhaps we can at least pretend that democratically overturning the law will not be a futile effort, itself overturned by equally narcissistic judges. Oops, wait, almost forgot. Time to turn full circle to the voting bloc that got this started. Many voting residents checking the boxes of new ballot measures will not be here legally. How many? Who knows? Who on earth knows anymore? It's now against the law for any official to find out, at least any who were formerly in a position to do something about it. Besides, we didn't do such a great job of monitoring the situation before anyway, which might explain how the powers that be arrived on their Sacramento perched thrones in the first place. So, never mind. Meanwhile, there is much bigger news than California, because the world is a very big place. And wanting to make his own place on the planet even bigger than anyone else's by obliterating America, North Korea's own Kim Jong-un. Come on, let's give it up for him. Everybody's favorite, the lovable dictator, the childlike demagogue. He brags about the red button on his desk. Predictably, President Trump then brags about the even bigger red button on his desk. I'm not sure who has the deeper color of red, but Trump, in familiar style, does insist he's got the bigger button. In this vein, a member of our oh-so-intelligent White House press corps asks Sarah Huckabee Sanders if Americans should be concerned about the president's mental fitness because of his tough talk to North Korea. Don't you just love these balanced, sophisticated questions? Well, here's my question. Who in our elitist press was concerned about President Bill Clinton's mental fitness when he paid Kim Jong-un's maniac father $5 billion to not build nuclear arms? Maybe Trump just knows that if you give the bully your sandwich at lunch today, he will be sure to come back for another sandwich tomorrow. And tomorrow, he'll demand the better one, the turkey or the ham on Swiss. You won't get off with the peanut butter and jelly on pumpernickel. But let me introduce a man who fits this radio show better than peanut butter fits jelly. Say hello to my good friend and rotating co-host, Jim Barrier.
All right, Bob. That was awesome.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. I'm really welcoming 2018. And we have much to talk about. But I would like to, before we get into reviewing the past year, to think back almost 2 years ago when we headed into an election year and the primaries and people were scrambling to get nominations and win their party ticket. I'm talking about the rhinos and Republicans. Nobody was going to challenge Hillary seriously. Bernie tried. He really tried. But he didn't stand a chance. They weren't going to let it happen.
Well, she was coronated, and they didn't want anyone interfering with a coronation.
Well, exactly. And I think you and I, many of us, probably expected that she was just going to, you know, waltz her way down the aisle and be coronated Queen of America. Didn't happen.
Well, she thought that was going to happen back in 2008, and then Obama surprised her then.
Well, she ran into a perfect storm, I think, and that's how our current president's predecessor got elected. It was just everything lined up for him. But during that time of the primaries, I remember the shock and the dismay of people reacting to the Donald. Here's this personality, real estate millionaire, billionaire, and has TV shows, and they didn't take him seriously, and then they were appalled at the way he behaved himself or misbehaved during the debates, and he proceeded to shred every one of them. It was shocking.
And he did it by having a big mouth without a filter, which is not what you expect from a politician.
No. And he did everything. He was contrary to what people were used to seeing. And I think that may have worked to his favor. I think people were saying, we're sick and tired of these guys. And he really is not an insider. And no one's going to buy him off.
It was as if he was as at once his own asset, greatest asset and greatest liability, his big mouth.
It
was very refreshing to hear somebody talk without 10 handlers telling them you can't say this or they'll get offended, you can't say that. On the other hand, there were times when I'm sure all of us just cringed at things he said. And I still think, and those who know him well and know New York well like to explain it, like he's a New Yorker and New Yorkers punch back. But there are times when I wonder if he isn't being crazy like a fox. I do think he's the kind of guy that if you push him, if you provoke him, he's going to fight back and not always think about it. But there are times when I wonder if he isn't just thinking about what to say because he's driving the left-wing media mad and he's controlling the narrative. And every time there's a problem, all he has to do is tweet something else tomorrow and he'll change the whole subject.
Yeah.
And they go ballistic and they fall for it every time.
Yeah, and that alone, for someone to challenge his mental capacity or his stability, he's dumb like a fox. He knows just what he's doing, I think, and he did all along there, and many of us doubted him. I didn't take him seriously, really.
I didn't either, not at first. And he was way on the bottom of the list. Not as low as Jeb Bush, I should say, but he was way toward the bottom. I would have preferred Ben Carson. I would have preferred Carly Fiorina. I even would have preferred Ted Cruz.
There was a lot of people. I think we all had our favorites. We had, and it was probably two different things. There were people we thought would probably win it, and then people we hoped would win it, but didn't think they could. And then lo and behold, this bombastic celebrity guy winds up shocking everybody. And then he turned around and did the same thing in the election against Her Majesty. And and I think people were reeling. Now, I've said this before on the show. I think half of the country hates Donald because he beat Hillary. And I think half of the country loves Donald because he beat Hillary. You know, and I think that was the big issue. And people were just stunned.
Well, it was for me. I was very candid that from my point of view, I was voting for the lesser of two evils and rolling the dice. But since he's gotten to office, you know, I don't believe the guy, well, what I don't know what he is now. I don't believe he was a true conservative when he was elected. But he has done more for the conservative movement in that 1 year than I think Ronald Reagan did the entire time he was in office. And I'm a big Ronald Reagan fan.
Oh, and I loved Uncle Ron, as I like to call him. He probably has been my favorite in my lifetime. I don't.
Well, Jim, Nancy and I were fond of you too.
Very good. And he had a great way. Now he was the opposite. He just would charm the media. They would try to get him in a corner, and he would say, "There you go again." And he just, you know, he just let it bounce off, and he was very, very calm about it.
Well, and they said the same things about him. He's a nutcase. Yes. He's going to get us into a nuclear war. He's Hitler. They called George W. Bush Hitler. They talked about him being Hitler almost every day. I remember it. Mild-mannered George Bush. So it's I grant it, Trump makes it a lot easier for them with the things he says. But they were going to have that narrative about any Republican that got elected. Who are we kidding?
The difference is he just doesn't care. He'll take it the next day.
Well, you know, he does and he doesn't. He cares very much when he feels he's being attacked personally. But what he's not going to do is change what he's decided in his policies because of them.
That's
in that context, he doesn't care.
Yeah,
it's interesting. Okay, my friend, hold with me over the break. So glad to start the new year with you. We will be right back.
Believe it or not, Bob Siegel is aware that there may be one or two people who disagree with his opinions. To offer your own comments on the topic at hand or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, feel free to contact Bob on Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
1170 The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. It is great to be back with you. Today commences the 14th season of the Bob Siegel Show, but the drill is the same. If you'd like to weigh in on anything, you can always reach me on Facebook, Twitter, or questions at bobsiegel.net. That's questions at bobsiegel, S-I-E-G-E-L.net. Linda, knowing that Jim was going to be my guest tonight, writes on Facebook, can't wait to see where the tangents lead. Well, Linda, I'm usually more guilty of the tangents than Jim, but we both seem to enjoy them. James says, listening now, you're on fire, Bob. Well, thank you, James. And then I have one from Victoria. Victoria actually wrote me over the break. This email came during the holidays when our live broadcasts, of course, were on hiatus, and I reran a few of our classic Christmas specials. During that time, Victoria writes, hi, Mr. Siegel. I really love your show. Last Sunday, you played a Christmas song with female vocals. Would you give me the name of the song and the artist? You also played an instrumental version of Come Emmanuel. I would like to know who performed it. Thank you for your time. Sincerely, Victoria. Well, thank you for the kind words about my show, Victoria. The instrumental to Emmanuel was from Mannheim Steamroller, as is all of my instrumental bumper music during the Christmas season. As for the special song that you heard, it is called One Small Child. The vocalist's name is Evie. Now, there are other artists who have done this American carol, which happens to be my personal favorite of all Christmas carols. I'm very glad you liked it. I hope you had a Merry Christmas. I hope you are happy, a Happy New Year. And now, back to our first show of the season, where I am honored to share the kickoff with Jim Barrier. And Jim, are you there? Okay. We're talking about the kickoff and we've lost Jim. Tim's in there frantically seeing if we can get him back. Jim did tell me he was going to be on a different landline today. I said that's okay, but I hope we test it. It looked like it was working fine, but here's a comment from Eric. He says, best presidential speech line in a while. A nation without borders is not a nation. A nation that does not protect prosperity at home cannot protect its interests abroad. A nation that is not prepared to win a war is a nation not capable of preventing a war. A nation that is not proud of its history cannot be confident in its future. And a nation that is not certain of its values cannot summon the will to defend them. President Donald Trump. Okay, and Jim is back on the line. Jim, welcome back to our program.
Sorry about that.
What on earth happened to you?
Well, all I can guess is that the landline that I'm using tonight doesn't work as well as the one I used to do. So I'm on my cell phone now, better than nothing.
Okay, just is it a charged phone that you can...
Yeah, I'm good.
It's good stuff. Okay.
Okay. Great. So now, and I heard the last part, you were repeating one of the president's messages, and I like the way he talks. And back to the report card, we're going to jump right into this. I want to degrade him on just, you know, certain areas. And I think I'd like to start with foreign policy and say that I am not a true isolationist, and I don't think Mr. Trump is either, but I love the way he's treating things like the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the Paris Accord and the United Nations. I think there's kind of an attitude of, you know, you guys need us more than we need you, so adios amoebas.
Well, look at the money that we give to nations all over the world. And some of them are friends and allies, and others are cutthroat despots. And we still give them billions of dollars.
Yeah. And I see him reeling that in. And maybe, one of the shocking ones is cutting back $285 million from the United Nations. And I've long been one of those people that has felt get U.S. out of U.N., I really never liked that whole thing.
I've always thought they should turn it into a public toilet, but Mike Huckabee had a better idea. He thinks they should turn it into another Trump Tower in New York City.
So. Well, yeah. And anyway, I like the direction he's taking with that. It's if you're not really going to be our allies, if you're going to abuse the funds we're giving you, if you're going to play these games, you know, we're just not going to support you. And whether it has to do with the climate or the economy or the Middle East, I think he's saying what he promised, and that is America first. We're going to put America first. And again, it's been a long time since we've had somebody that really acted that way. They could talk that way, but he's really putting his money where his mouth is.
And you know, Jim, there's such an inconsistency in today's politically correct climate when we talk about America first, because in terms of the globe, it's don't think America, think of the globe and think of unity.
Yeah.
But then within America, they're also saying, don't think of America, think of your own sub-Balkanized culture. Isn't that interesting, that inconsistency?
Yeah, kind of a contradiction. But I made the statement this morning in my message that I believe that everything you can find wrong in the system, in this world, can be traced to people who think that their happiness is more important than everybody else's. And so whether that's a despot committing genocide or a CEO embezzling millions or a guy with a gun in a liquor store robbing it, people saying, I want what I want, and everyone else step aside or take a back seat. And I think both of those things you described have to do with that type of mentality.
Well, we're emboldening that. If we're telling college students, our so-called future leaders of America, that if they're upset by the results of the election, that we'll give them a teddy bear and a comfort room and a pillow.
Yeah.
I mean, they call them snowflakes, but you know, Jim, the real snowflakes, with real snowflakes, every snowflake is a completely different pattern. So snowflakes are more unique than these people marching in lockstep being called snowflakes.
It's crazy. And I like the statement, I'm special, just like everybody else. So.
I saw a cartoon one time from an EST seminar where a bunch of people together in unison, like 1,000, were shouting, I am an individual. So it was pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was one of the strange movements. I had friends that were into that thing. That was crazy stuff. So I like what he's doing on the level of pulling out of things that are really not benefiting our country and our people. I like that he has been bold about recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. We talked about that last month a little bit, and that really ticked a lot of people off. But hey, Jerusalem is Israel's capital.
Yeah, it's insane. Is there any other country in the world that isn't allowed to pick their own capital, but Israel gets this dubious honor?
But I love that he's not been afraid to do things like that. Now, I don't think he can take total credit, but I'm telling you what, he's done more to bring down ISIS than the last guy did in 8 years.
Well, the actual ISIS territory, they're down over 90%. Now, there's still going to be attacks around the world because those will increase because that's all they can do. But at least he's doing something about it, and he's not calling them the JV team.
Yeah. I'm glad to see him, you know, going after bad guys. Sanctions on Iran. Are we going to a break?
We are going to a break, and Jim, I'm just trusting God that when we come back from the break, you're going to be here. But we'll see. Life is exciting.
Okay.
We'll be right back. Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
Listen to this customer review of Bob Siegel's novel, Choice of the Lorelei. I saw this play on which the story is based many years ago. Elements of it have stayed with me over the years as it expanded my imagination about how things might have been in ancient times. It was also very exciting to see this story intersecting with the other works by the author. Very different stories, yet linked by a common element. I can hardly wait for more. Choice of the Lorelei, available in ebook or print copies from Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Back, I said I was excited to kick things off with Jim Barry. Little did I know it would be like real kickoffs in football that sometimes don't go as well as the team is hoping. But let's try it again. Kicking off the 14th season with Jim Barrier.
Here we are. 14 years. That's amazing.
Well, the beginning. 13 years in the beginning of the 14th season. It is. I mean, it seems like yesterday that I just started, so...
Well, it's been fun all along for the part that I've been involved. So we are grading President Trump on his foreign policy. I started to say before the break, I like his attitude toward Iran, that he's, you know, putting sanctions on them, decertifying the nukes deal. The fact is, I love that this guy doesn't back down to Iran, North Korea, China, Russia, anybody that is adversarial. He just doesn't let them bully us. And
it's such a new idea to people. There was a time when Americans wanted to see that, but we've been so politically correctly cushioned that it's just people are not used to it anymore. And I'm so tired of the Hitler comparison. If everybody is Hitler, nobody is Hitler. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know that the real Hitler literally exterminated 6 million Jews? Some say more like 7 million, not to mention all kinds of other people. I mean, babies were literally pushed into ovens, little babies. And they're comparing Trump to Hitler for what? For some rhetoric? It is asinine.
Yeah, and I really, really detest that. And I read somebody, the writer, a good friend, someone I really love, who posted a thing about that and compared him to Hitler. And I said, look, until he starts killing millions of people and running tanks through countries that have declared neutrality and trying to take over the world, you know, it's just absurd. And I said the same thing when people said that about Mr. Obama. Because people did use that, the Hitler rhetoric, and they did the same thing with Hillary, and it's just wrong. It's not fair, and it really shows the ignorance on the part of people that do those types of things. So
it does. I will add one caveat there, though, because some could say, well, all right, we're not talking about the later grotesque Nazism, but Nazism in the early form. But I say, okay, fine. But if you're talking about Nazism in the early form, it was the National Socialist Party. So how come the socialists are accusing people of being Nazis when they're the ones that are the socialists? Hitler began by talking about redistribution of wealth, rich versus poor. The only difference is he took the word rich and he substituted in the word Jew. But if we want to even talk about Nazism in the early forms and see who actually resembles the real honest-to-goodness Nazis, I would take a little look at the socialists.
I had a teacher in high school, and he had a big picture of Hitler on his wall with the caption, "The greatest communist hater in history." but he liked to stir things
well,
up.
Well, and you know, the difference between Hitler and Stalin, the difference between the communists and the Nazis, they were both into redistribution of wealth. The only difference is Hitler talked more nationally and Stalin talked more globally. But yeah. in many ways, they were the same serial, just in a different box. Yeah. But the problem is people then conflated. Oh, Donald Trump talks about making America great. Hitler talked about making Germany great. Okay, so is that the way we're going to conflate it? So that means if Hitler enjoyed eating pizza, then the people at Round Table are Nazis. That's how ridiculous that gets.
Yeah, it's pretty silly. So I like the way he's treating things. And we will segue into some domestic things. But I would give him at least a B plus so far. There's a lot of things yet to do, but I think the direction he's going and the way he has approached foreign policy, I've really, really been favorably impressed.
I'll give him the B plus too, and I think the only thing that's causing me to hold out for the A is that he still thinks he can make a deal between the Israelis and the Palestinians. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. But he's a quick study, and I think he's going to soon figure out that that's not going to happen. Here's what is going to happen, though. We're going to be right back. This is Bob Siegel for Skyline Church. Jesus said that his people should be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Some churches take that mandate seriously, others sadly do not. I am happy to announce that there are many good, serious churches in San Diego, and Skyline is certainly one of them. Outreaches to the community and the world at large are carried on by our missionary family. Their ministries to the poor, the shut-ins, and the emotionally scarred. There are groups and classes for all ages, from children to middle school to high school, college, young adult, and senior citizen. Skyline is also on the cutting edge of today's social issues. We mobilize people and help them to be a better voice for the changing culture around us.
Skyline Church, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m.
Trump presidency, and he has a big mouth, and he says funny things, and he says stupid things, and he says narcissistic things. Here's what you have to ask yourself. If it wasn't about what he was saying, and it was just about what he is actually doing, the policies themselves, what kind of grade would you give him? I'm joined by my co-host, Jim Barrier, who is grading him today. Take it away, Jim.
Okay, so let's move into some things on the home front. Now, he has not built the wall. I don't know if he'll get the wall.
He'd better. That was the linchpin in his campaign. I don't even care about the wall, but in terms of promises, he better build the blasted wall.
Yeah. Now, immigration, illegal immigration is down considerably. I've read some figures as high as 60%.
You guys can celebrate that in Texas. I'm living in a sanctuary state called California right now.
Well, you're living in a different country than I'm living in.
Oh, it's fast becoming a completely separate country. That is true.
Yeah. Well, we documented that. We dedicated an entire show last year comparing the two states, and I think my state won handily. So.
Well, I'm a big fan of Disneyland. I'm just waiting until Disney's California Adventure becomes Disney Sanctuary State Adventure.
Well, we have our own version. We have theme parks here. We've got Six Flags and stuff. My favorite is the Budget Redneck Park, though, also known as...
The Budget Redneck Park.
Yeah, DFW Airport. Families bring their kids there, and they ride that little tram around in circles and say, oh, look, kids, look at an airplane. And so I'm sorry, I digressed.
Well, even that sounds more exciting than California these days, Jim.
Now... economy. There was a guy who ran on the whole premise of it's the economy, stupid, and got elected. The stock market has been doing great in the past year. It's climbed, consistently.
And all the Obama surrogates claim, well, that's because of the way things were set up by Obama because he left.
You know, yeah, but then... When they took office, they blamed Bush for everything that was wrong. So, you can't have it both ways.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But consumer confidence is high. Mortgages are up. People buying homes and getting mortgages for homes are up. The median household income is at a 7-year high. Unemployment is at the lowest point that it's been in I've read since 2000, depending on which chart you look at, but for years, it's the lowest unemployment rate. Here's my favorite thing about the economy with our sitting president. He has reduced the White House payroll. You might have read about these things.
Well, I think he's going to be reducing a lot of payrolls in Washington, period, by getting
everywhere.
Rid of this deep state.
But this is just like a little capsule for me. The White House payroll has been reduced 22 million. And one of the little elements of that is Melania has 5 attendants compared to Michelle's 24 attendants.
You're kidding. No, even though I always feel like I couldn't hear anything stupider, that one I did not know. She had 24 attendants?
I thought it was stupid too.
I think it's stupid for a Melania to have 5 attendants, but she had 24?
Yeah, I realized why. It takes that many more people to make her look good. So,
Well, look. Whatever else I might think about the Obamas, they looked great. She was a very beautiful woman. He's a good-looking man. Okay. But you know what? That's about the only nice thing I can think about them.
24 attendants. It took 24 people to wait on her hand and foot. And in fact, that was just a little capsule of what's going on. He's cutting back things and saying, we're wasting money here. And we need to stop doing that. He's a businessman, first and foremost. And he understands why businesses go bad. He's had some himself that have gone bad. And you can't waste money. You can't spend money on stuff that isn't necessary. Something I wish every American could get a hold of. So on the economy, now we've got a long way to go. I just right before the show, there was a news bit about gas prices have gone up. And they had dropped. They were doing pretty good, but they're going to go back up. And gas is one of those very unstable things.
Well, I'll tell you one of the things that makes things unstable, and I don't know if this is about the gas per se, but I know it affects the stock market. The economy's doing so great right now because of the tax changes they just made. But I went on Facebook and made a prediction that every time there's a new Trump policy, even if it's passed through Congress and not an executive order, passed through Congress, anybody that doesn't like it is going to go to some idiot judge and try to overturn it. And the states of New York and California are suing the United States government over that new tax plan. Because as you know, people are not going to get special deductions for living in states with high taxes. So instead of the states and high taxes lowering their state taxes, they're going to just sue the government. Now, that may sound insane, but if we believe that we're not going to find some judge who wants to make a name for himself who's going to go along with that, and every time this president does something now, people are acting like the three branches of government all fall under the jurisdiction of one branch, the judicial branch. And that's going really, to be a battle for the soul of our country that is not going to go away anytime soon.
Speaking of that, he has appointed more appeals court judges in his first year than anybody has ever done.
And it's happened under the radar. That may be, again, with the genius of these tweets, because while the media is arguing with him about him calling himself a genius, meanwhile, he's appointing judges quietly. So that, that's going to help. That's going to help.
And he's doing it at all levels. And of course, his Supreme Court pick, and I realized there was so much politics. The Republicans said, no, we're not going to put somebody in for a lame duck, and we need to wait till after the election, which
I'm glad they did that.
They all thought Hillary was going to win, I'm sure, but that was a huge turning point, I think, for justice in America, and getting a conservative judge in there. Now, here's the deal. You know that Ginsburg is just doing everything she can to not die.
Oh, that sounds terrible. Well, I don't want her to die, but if she wanted to step down and retire early and take a nice long vacation, I would be just delighted.
But she won't do it. That's what I'm saying. She's holding out. She is going to hold on as long as she can, because she knows that when she's gone, she's going to be replaced by somebody who's 180 degrees.
Yeah, I know. And that's the problem, giving these guys these lifetime appointments. All right, Jim, hold with me for one more segment. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. This is Bob Siegel. I've been on the radio for many years, but let me tell you about a voice I've learned to appreciate far more than any radio announcers, Fred Falduti of Realty Executives All Area. Now, why do I care so much about Fred's voice? Because not long ago, Fred's voice spoke the following words to me.
Bob, I have some good news for you. They accepted your offer.
That's right. Fred Falduti just sold my house. With words like those, who needs radio? Folks, I'm telling you, choosing the right realtor is no small task. Fred took a personal interest in my situation, treating me less like a customer and more like a member of the family. And Fred's been doing this since 1994. Realty Executives All Area has sold thousands of homes locally.
Our footprints are throughout San Diego County, and we are proud of our accomplishments of assisting home sellers and buyers like you. Over the years, we've managed hundreds of real estate transactions and have encountered just about every kind of challenging situation possible.
That's it, folks. That's the voice that will sell your home. Whether buying or selling, the man you want is Fred Falduti with Realty Executives All Area. 619-719-7717. That's 619-719-7717 or fredfalduti.com. We radio hosts love to talk, but let's face it, when have we ever sold your home? Fred Falduti will.
The much-anticipated sequel to The Dangerous Christmas Ornament is finally here, Inside the Castle in the Glass. Mike Owen is now in high school enjoying his new girlfriend and his new popularity. But life gets interrupted when a series of mishaps transfer him and his friends into a whole new world. The very world his mysterious Christmas ornament originated from. Inside the Castle in the Glass. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Jim Barrier, who's giving Donald Trump grades in foreign and domestic policy. Jim, welcome back to our program.
Thanks. And I love walk, don't run, but we're running out of time, so we're going to run last okay. point here.
Here we go.
I love the segue. Now, I love the fact that he is doing things to give power back to states. And for instance, a bill allowing states to expand drug testing for unemployment benefits, allowing states to defund Planned Parenthood. And there are things where he has taken the opposing view of the Democrats, which is that the federal government should control everything, and forgetting that this is a union of 50 states, and the states should have authority over their own people and their own laws. And again, I think it's been, you have to go back to Reagan to have a president who's understood that and tried to enforce that, or at least accommodate that concept. And I see Trump doing that early on. He's doing things to give power back to the states and say it's not Washington's job.
In fact, people do forget that our states were originally supposed to be separate countries united under the principle of mutual protection. But you got to love, once again, I keep going back to the consistency, because when California got together as a state and passed Proposition 8 and changed their constitution, claiming that marriage was between a man and a woman, there was a lawsuit, and then the federal government overturned it, and now we have the people in Sacramento saying, well, California's just a state. We've got to follow the federal law of the land. Well, is California following the federal law of the land these days by declaring themselves a sanctuary state? See, when the issue changes conveniently, their position on state rights versus federal rights changes conveniently.
And there we go again. You can't have it both ways. But they continue to consistently pick and choose when they want to define things like that. So I like that he's trying to give more power back to the states. I believe in that. I've always believed in that. I like that he was active about the Keystone Pipeline. You know, if we're not going to be dependent on foreign oil, then we need to have our own oil. And if it takes a pipeline to get it down here, then let's do that.
Although we're going to have prosperity just coming out of our ears. And if we can just keep the judges in check, we may be in for some pretty good times.
I think so. And again, as we mentioned, on the judges, in 1 year, he's already done a lot. And he'll really for only two more years, because in the fourth year is an election year, and he will probably run for re-election. But he's got a couple more years that he can get a lot of stuff done. And like it or not, judges are lifetime appointments. And I'm with you. I wish they weren't. But as it is, we have a bunch of really old people on the Supreme Court that are there for life. And if he can make two more appointments to the Supreme Court, even one would be great. But if he put two more in that even leaned conservatively,
yeah, I think it would, a real conservative, not a stealth conservative like Kennedy, who, depending on whether he's having Fruit Loops or Cocoa Pebbles in the morning, makes his decision about the trial.
But as opposed to the extreme liberal ones that have been put in by the Democratic president. So I think those are the things that will affect my grandchildren, having justices who will interpret things according to the Constitution and instead of rewriting the Constitution, judges who will understand their job is to not legislate, but to judge according to the law. And so I think those are great things that he's doing, and that gives me some hope. So I'm giving him pretty high marks on his domestic things. Probably again, maybe a B plus, because I think there's still a lot of stuff that needs to be done. But in his first year, been pretty remarkable, and I love a lot of his cabinet members. Now he's had a really that's one of the problems. He's had such a controversial cabinet. People are coming and going right and left.
Oh, it's like a revolving door at a Macy's store.
Yeah. But I loved it when he put Mad Dog Mattis as Secretary of Defense. I thought, finally, you get a Secretary of Defense that understands what military is about, what war is about, and what the job is that has to be done. And that's a guy that doesn't back down.
What's your take on this whole Steve Bannon thing?
Oh, my gosh. I think he's only in it for the money. Frank Zappa did an album one time. We're only in it for the money. And I think there's too much of that.
It seemed like both Bannon and Trump had some very sincere shared viewpoints. It's kind of sad to see them go at it like
that. Weird. Yeah, I think, he's going to have a legacy like everybody else. And I think he's probably confused about how that's going to play out for him, how people will judge him. But at any rate, I think Trump has done very well on the home front. Now, there's one more thing I want to do, because I know we're coming to a close here. When you and I were kids and we got report cards at school, there used to be a grade 4 citizenship.
Oh, that's true.
I don't think he does as well on citizenship as he does on the other grades. And I'm not talking about the fact that Donald actually has a birth certificate. Not that citizenship.
Oh, jeez.
But, how they got along in the community. And I have to say, he hasn't done well. He doesn't play well with others.
He's
abrasive.
I wish there's times he'd just keep his big mouth shut. But again, it's not all said and done yet. I remember the history, the true history. Abraham Lincoln had people on his cabinet who thought he was a dumb, stupid country bumpkin. I'm not talking about the people in the Confederacy who already hated Lincoln. These were people in the North. And one day somebody came up to Lincoln and said, "Did you know that every person on your cabinet is your enemy? And they think they could do a much better job of being president than you can." And Lincoln said, "Of course I do. Why do you think they're on my cabinet where I can keep an eye on them all in one room?" So again, I know we come back to that old saying, crazy like a fox. Maybe Trump, maybe he's in better control of his big mouth than we think he is.
Maybe it's a little bit of both.
There's probably times where he's a little more controlled than we think. Well, anyway, Jim, I was honored to have you on for the first show of the new year. And I especially appreciate, Jim, that for you to be on tonight, you are sacrificing your time, because the Golden Globe Awards are going on even as we talk. The Hollywood Foreign Press, where every person's going to say something about Trump when they get their award. And you gave that up to be on my show. Your sacrifice will never go unnoticed or be in vain.
All right, Bob.
All right, my friend. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Siegel Show on AM 1170, The Answer, is sponsored by Bob Siegel.